Today, the twilight zone between inflation and lockdowns haunt the markets. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, I'm old enough to remember the 1970s when central bankers were claiming inflation was temporary before it took off into the teens and beyond. And while I'm not suggesting history will repeat, we can see the weird dynamic with greed driving markets one way, inflation fears pulling in a different direction, and renewed lockdowns in some places adding to the uncertainty. Global markets have surged during the pandemic, fueled by massive stimulus that's also stoked profits at banks such as Goldman Sachs. Concern is now rising that accelerating inflation will pose a challenge to a sustained recovery, as central banks may be forced to raise interest rates in response. Goldman Sachs Chief Executive Officer David Solomon said that markets could face a rocky time ahead as the global economy seeks to emerge from the abrupt impact of the pandemic. When I step back and think about my 40-year career, there have been periods of time when greed has far outpaced fear. We are now in one of these periods, he said in an interview for Bloomberg. My experience says these periods aren't long-lived. Something will rebalance it and bring back a bit more perspective. Chances are interest rates will move up. And if interest rates do move up, that in of itself will take some of the exuberance out of certain markets. The S&P 500 closed lower on Wednesday as cyclical sectors of the market slipped, with financials and energy leading the broader market lower. The S&P 500 fell 0.26%, the Dow Jones slipped 0.58%, and the Nasdaq lost 0.33%. The Russell 2000 was down 1%. Energy continued its sluggish start to the week, falling more than 1% as oil prices were pressurized by data showing a draw of 3.2 million barrels last week from the US Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And in a further hit to oil prices, the International Energy Agency warned of a reprieve from the price rally due to rising oil supplies. Financials fell about 1% as banking stocks came under pressure amid easing Treasury yields as concerns grew about the impact fresh COVID-19 restrictions in Europe will have on the global economic growth. Goldman Sachs, State Street, Morgan Stanley and others were all among the biggest decliners, with the latter down more than 3%. In the midst of the pandemic gloom, there was positive news on COVID-19 treatments. Moderna filed its application to the Food and Drug Administration in the US to approve its vaccine booster doses for all people aged at least 18. So its shares ended up more than 4%. But elsewhere, Visa, a major Dow component, slumped nearly 5% after Amazon said it would stop accepting payments made with Visa credit cards in the UK. Losses in the broader market were also kept in check by ongoing strength in big tech. Meta, formerly Facebook, was lower, while Amazon, Microsoft, Google parent Alphabet, and Apple were all higher. In fact, Apple was a standout performer, closing up more than 2% as a reduction in lead times pointed to easing supply chain issues for the tech giant. And Apple also said it was going to create a self-service repair program that will let customers repair their own devices using genuine Apple parts and tools. The iPhone and Mac maker said self-service repair would begin in early 2022 with a focus on most common service modules, including phone displays, batteries and cameras, with additional repair options to be added later in the year. Of course, Apple has been known for its tight control of the repair process, focused around Amazon stores and authorized service providers. What we do believe from the data is that Apple's supply is gradually catching up to demand for both iPhone and Macs at this point in the cycle, Goldman Sachs said in the note. On the economic front, October housing starts fell 0.7% month over month to 1.52 million units, missing economists' estimates that it should be 1.58 million. We continue to blame the weakness on supply constraints, Jeffries said in the note. Demand for housing has improved in recent months, corroborated most recently by yesterday's Home Builder Sentiment Index, which rose to its highest level since May. Now, in the UK, a day after strong jobs data, hotter-than-expected UK inflation numbers were driving up the British pound, adding more weight to the case for an interest rate hike in December. Given further increases in coming months, inflation will likely blow through the Bank of England's expectations. In October, consumer prices rose 4.2% annualised, higher than the 3.9% expected by analysts, and that's a sizable leap from 3.1% in September. It also marked the highest inflation level in a decade, driven largely by energy prices, though core inflation, that excludes food and energy, also jumped to 3.4% from 2.9% above expectations again. Inflation is set to remain elevated and probably move even higher in the near term, with the Bank of England forecasting a peak of around 5% in April next year, though it's expected to ease back from the second half of 2022 onward, said Han Ju-hoi, senior economist at Lloyds Bank, in a note to clients. Nevertheless, an extended period of above-target inflation and indications that the labour market remains strong after the furlough scheme ended means that a Bank of England interest rate rise next month remains in play, said the economist. Inflationary pressures in the UK are growing more broad-based, said Callum Pickering, senior economist at Berenberg. They are driven by the combination of a rapid recovery in domestic demand, widespread global supply shortages, as well as the UK's unique brand of Brexit challenges, which raise the cost of trade with the EU, the UK's biggest trading partner, he wrote. UK inflation spiked in October and is likely to move higher over the coming 6 months. We expect it to peak at slightly more than 5% in April, when the full impact of the recent surge in energy prices hits households. With the labour market tight, the Bank of England is worried that high inflation could anchor expectations. This will probably mean rates lift off next month. UK inflation climbed faster than expected, the highest in a decade, keeping pressure on the bank to raise those interest rates and tighten a squeeze on living standards for households. Consumer prices rose 4.2% from a year ago in October, driven by energy prices and the impact of broad-based supply shortages across the economy. That was the fastest pace since November 2011 and up sharply from 3.1% in September. Everyone, including economists at the Bank of England, had expected 3.9%. Energy costs drove inflation to its highest in almost a decade last month. The Bank of England has warned it's likely to lift borrowing costs in the coming months to keep inflation in check. And the 5% target in next year is more than double what it was originally thinking. The pound rose after the report, with investors bracing for a move next month after strong labour market data on Tuesday indicated upward pressure on wages. With high inflation sticking around, this may force a response from the Bank of England in just a matter of weeks, said Sukhdeep Dhillon, senior economist at BNP Paribas Real Estate. For now, inflation is largely driven by temporary factors linked to energy prices and the revival of global demand following the pandemic. But the Bank of England is concerned that it would take root more widely if left unchecked. Growth in employment and wages this week reinforced views that the central bank will seek to prevent an upward spiral in prices from taking hold. Business groups sounded a note of caution, highlighting weaker economic growth and signs of weakness in consumer spending and confidence. The Bank of England are facing a tricky trade-off between surging inflation and a stalling recovery, said Surin Thuru, head of economics at the British Chambers of Commerce. However, with the UK economy facing mounting headwinds, raising interest rates too early should be resisted. The pickup in inflation last month was driven by natural gas and electricity prices after regulator Ofgem allowed suppliers to hike tariffs by as much as 12% to offset rising wholesale costs. The ceiling likely would spike to at least £1,800, an increase of more than 40% from the £1,277 that suppliers currently can charge for default tariffs. Ofgem hasn't announced how much it plans to raise the cap, but Chief Executive Officer Jonathan Brearley said last month the increase would be significant. The expected increase will take effect at the same time the government raises the National Insurance Payroll Tax, and prices charged for food, motor fuel, used cars and at restaurants and hotels also contributed to the sharp increase in inflation. Inflation for almost a third of the things UK consumers usually buy is running at 5% or more a year. delivering yet another alarm about rising prices from the Bank of England. From olive oil to cigars and cinema tickets, almost 30% of the shopping basket of goods and services used to calculate the cost of living was growing more than 5%. Whereas in September, just one-fifth of items were rising at that pace. So it's becoming more broad-based. The findings indicate that the drivers of inflation go well beyond the cost of energy and that increasing prices are becoming more widespread. That will add to concerns about inflation at the central bank, which has warned it's preparing to tighten rates to maintain its 2% inflation target. Inflation is already running above 5% for many UK goods and services. More worryingly, though, the hotspots are seen across the economy and not confined to high-profile areas. All 12 of the broader categories in the basket have at least one element where inflation is running above 5%, with restaurants and hotels and transport making up the biggest proportions. Other items gained strongly, including food staples such as butter, along with crisps, ice cream and fortified wine. Fridges, cookers and coffee machines have also seen big increases, along with toys, garden products, theatre and concert tickets. That's prompted speculation officials will raise rates for the first time since the pandemic at the December meeting. And in fact, households face the prospect of another steep rise in April, along with sharp increases in payroll tax. That could undermine the recovery by leaving people with less money to spend on other goods and services. Soaring UK inflation will get an extra push next year when the energy regulator adjusts the price cap for household gas and power, adding pressure on consumers already paying higher costs for food and fuel as the economy recovers from the pandemic. Starting in April, energy bills for millions of households will be increased when the regulator Ofgem revises its cap to account for the surging prices of natural gas and electricity. Ofgem will decide the specific amount in February based on prices from the previous 6 months. There's no doubt the price cap is going to go up, said Ellen Fraser, a partner at consultancy Boehringer Partners. It's going to strain household finances. Rising prices also meant a problem for Chancellor of the Exchequer Rishi Sunak by making it more expensive to service inflation-linked government bonds. The retail price index, which determines payments on index-linked gilts, rose to 6% in October. That's the fastest pace since April 1991. The UK is further below pre-crisis levels than most major economies. Many countries are experiencing higher inflation as we recover from COVID. We know people are facing pressures with the cost of living, Sunak said in a statement. We're helping people get into work. Supply chain disruptions boosted prices for a wide variety of goods and services. Core inflation, which excludes energy, food, alcohol and tobacco, jumped to 3.4% from 2.9%. While painful for households, the fact is that the global nature of these inflationary pressures mean that traditional tools such as raising interest rates are likely to have little effect, said Jack Leslie, senior economist at the Resolution Foundation. Instead, we need to focus on securing the as yet incomplete COVID recovery so that stronger growth creates more scope for higher pay rises. RPI inflation determines payments on a quarter of UK government debt. And then a worrying sign for policymakers, companies are increasingly talking up the prospects of price rises to cover rising wage and other costs. If workers demand higher wages to maintain their living standards, inflation could prove more persistent than initially assumed. And separate ONS figures showed cost pressures building further down the pipeline. The prices manufacturers pay for fuel and raw materials surged 13% in October compared with a year earlier. That's the highest since September 2008. And in response, factories raised the prices they charge their customers by 8%. That's the most since 2011. And finally, if that wasn't enough, Germany's Angela Merkel has described the COVID-19 situation in her country as dramatic, as the outgoing chancellor considers how to deal with an infection rate that's hit a record. The fourth wave is hitting our country with full force, Merkel told an event for the Association of German Cities, according to a translation by Deutsche Welle and several other media outlets. The number of daily new infections is higher than ever before, and the daily death toll is also frightening, she said, adding that it was not too late to take up a COVID vaccine for anyone who had not already done so. Merkel's comments come after the Robert Koch Institute, Germany's public health body, reported a further 52,826 new cases on Wednesday and a further 294 deaths. To date, Germany has recorded 5.1 million cases and almost 100,000 fatalities from COVID-19, according to the Johns Hopkins University data. Merkel's government and state leaders are slated to meet this week to discuss possible new nationwide restrictions. Several states and cities have already imposed more COVID measures and have required the public to show COVID passes, which have an individual's vaccination status or, if they've just recovered from the virus, also widely known as the 2G rule, as they refer to whether people are vaccinated in German or recovered in order to access bars, restaurants and other public venues like movie theatres or museums. Germany's famous Christmas markets are another annual tradition where COVID rules are being tightened. Hamburg is among the cities applying the 2G rules for anyone wishing to visit its main market, according to Reuters, while Munich's Christmas market has also been cancelled. Last week, leading German virologist Christian Drosten called for urgent action to be taken by the government, warning that the country could witness as many as 100,000 more deaths from the virus if nothing was done to tackle the spread. While new infections are rocketing among the unvaccinated, particularly among younger children, COVID vaccination among adults has helped to keep severe infections, hospitalizations and deaths far lower than in previous waves. And Germany is not alone in having a spike of new COVID cases, with Ireland, the Netherlands, Slovakia and Austria also seeing a surge. The Netherlands and Austria have reintroduced partial lockdowns, with the unvaccinated not allowed to leave their homes in Austria unless they're buying food or going to work. Ireland has also implemented new COVID rules, including an earlier closing time for bars, restaurants and clubs, less than a month after they returned to normal. Irish Prime Minister Michael Martin also said people should work from home unless it was absolutely necessary. Vaccine proof will be required for cinemas and theatres. And meanwhile, Slovakia is expected to restrict movements of those who are not vaccinated amid a critical situation in the country's hospitals. Lawmakers will vote on a three-week proposal on Thursday. And so, as I said at the start of this conversation, we are seeing significant pulls in different directions. The inflation pressure, which continues to build, and the resurgence of COVID once again, which means that the economy could be easing back because of further COVID infections, and of course, tightened or strangled with higher interest rates. This is a very, very tricky time now, and therefore the level of uncertainty is increasing. And yet the markets seem blindly comfortable with what's going on and continue to assume that they will be able to boom away for a long time to come. And as I've said before, the reason, of course, for that confidence is not necessarily the economic measures directly, but it's simply a blind faith, nay, a religious belief, that central banks will always bail everybody out. What happens in the future for as long as necessary. That is, of course, the big, big question. Will they go on doing it, or will they turn turtle? We'll have to wait and see. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.